From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Whenever we'd say, we're going to Kona tomorrow, oh, they dance around. And so I told the kids, hey, we're going to Kona tomorrow. Oh, and so they went outside. And I saw them playing in the gravel. Now, Amy's only 5 and Aaron's 4. He said, give me back my truck. And I heard Amy say, Aaron, settle down. Tomorrow, we're going to Kona. You know, there's times I just know the Lord just says, Wayne. Tomorrow you have forever. You're going to heaven.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, Pastor Wayne continues from the series Standing on the Promises with a message entitled The Promise of Eternal Life. Pastor Wayne will show us that eternal life is not something that begins after we die. It begins the very moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Here is Pastor Wayne with the message, The Promise of Eternal Life.
If you would take out your notes with me as we talk about the promise of eternal life. It was in Matthew chapter 19 that a young man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to gain eternal life? Jesus said, well, what does the commandment say? He says, well, and he mentions a few. And he says, that's right. And the Lord then kind of enumerates some of the commandments. And he says, keep them. And this young man said, well, I have from my youth up. The Lord looked at him and said, well, one thing you need to do. Get rid of what you have, sort of die to yourself and follow me. And the man couldn't do that. He owned too much. And there was a sadness in the Lord's heart. But that question, what must I do? He said, good teacher, what must I do to gain eternal life? You know, that question is still being asked today in a lot of ways, millions of ways. And most of those questions are asked are being sought after, but yet without God's help. We're trying to find ways to keep our youth, keep our age, keep eternal life, as it were, keep eternal youth. And we go to all kinds of ends trying to do that. Since Ponce de Leon was looking for the fountain of youth, I think we still go after with youth pills. I think the most commonly known one is the oil of old age. We try to put that on just for eternal youth. We try all kinds of things, anti-aging pills. And if that doesn't work, you can inject Botox into your wrinkles and then make it at least look like you're younger. And if that doesn't work, you know that Pfizer this last year spent, and that's a drug manufacturing company, they spent $71 million on trying to perfect a youth pill that when you take it, it keeps you from aging. But they discontinued it for one small, simple reason. It didn't work. It don't work. It didn't. And if that doesn't work, no problem. ABC might be able to choose you for an extreme makeover. Huh? You could get chosen. And I watched a few of those extreme makeovers. How many of you have watched extreme makeovers? Yeah. And but after 3 or 4 of those, it's like the plot is the same every time. They find someone who's very self-conscious, embarrassed about how they look, and they don't want to be teased, and they're very self-conscious. So they take this embarrassed, self-conscious, concerned person, and they say, we choose you because you ugly. Yeah, hooray, they chose me. Now, remember, this person's very self-conscious about what they look like. So after they say, we choose you, hooray, you know what the first thing they have them do? They make you pose in your underwear so national TV can see how ugly you is. You know, and I thought, what? So they try to make you at least look like you're still young. Now, if that doesn't work, to go back to the drugs and to combat aging. You know, Pfizer reported that last year they made $26 billion in sales in their drugs. And most of the drugs are targeted toward the aging population, the baby boomers that want to stay eternally young, eternally healthy. Like that one drug, Lipitor, that reduces cholesterol. They made over $1 billion on that. And if that doesn't work for you and you're depressed because it doesn't work, they have another one that made $1 billion, Zoloft. It's an antidepressant that they sell. And if that doesn't work, they have this blockbuster drug, brought $3 billion last year, Viagra, and I don't know what that does. You might, I don't know. I don't know. But it's all targeted towards an aging population that wants to stay eternally young. And then they have pills to help you just gain back your memory. You know, because memory starts to go. They have sea silver and HGH and bee pollen and blue-green algae and a couple more, but I can't remember what they are. And, you know, we're all losing our memory. It reminds me of the three Portuguese women. They're all like 80 years old, and they're all complaining about how they're losing their memory, you know, and they're all named Mary. And all the Portuguese ladies are Mary. And so the first one's complaining, and Mary says, you know, I find myself at the refrigerator, she said, with a jar of pickled mango in my hand. And when I'm in front of the refrigerator, I cannot remember if I'm putting it in or taking it out. And the second Portuguese one says, well, that's not as bad as, you know, me. I find myself on the landing of the stairs, and I cannot remember if I was going up the stairs or down the stairs. And the third one proudly states, she says, oh, I'm so glad I don't have those memory problems. Knock on wood. She raps like this. You go, oops, somebody must be at the door. I'll be right back. I tell you. Well, I'm going to give you a test of aging. I'm going to see how you guys are doing, all right? There's going to be 10 questions, and see how many of these things you remember. That'll tell you how old you are, okay? So just remember, you got 10 fingers, hopefully, so count them on each finger. And here is the first one. How many of these do you remember? Number one, candy cigarettes. Wax Coke-shaped bottles with colored sugar water inside. Party lines on telephone. 45 RPM records. S&H green stamps. Now, check this. The metal or aluminum ice cube trays with the levers on them. Wash tub ringers with rollers. Roller skate keys. Soda machines that open from the top and dispense bottles that hung in metal racks. And then home milk delivery with cardboard stoppers on them. All right? Now, if you remember just like under five, then you're probably under five. But if you remember 9 or 10, we're older than dirt. Did I say we? I love this. It's you know you're getting old when, and then they put these definitions. Here it is. You know you're getting old when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. I like this one. You know you're getting old when your beauty marks start sprouting hair. And here's the worst, and you don't cut them. You know you're getting old when you sit in a rocking chair, but you can't make it go. You know you're getting old when people call you at 8 p.m. in the evening and they immediately apologize by saying, oops, did I wake you? You know you're getting old when you have more hair in your ears than on your head. We're all getting old, I think. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about life. A lot to say about the quality of life that we live too. And let's read at the top of our notes, John 10:10b, because the A part of 10:10 is, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But, let's read together, go. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The Bible speaks about life, eternal life, and the abundance of life. I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. He's saying that God, would you write in your first bullet, Jesus is promising not a quality of life as well as a quantity of life. He's saying, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I have come that you might have eternal life, but also I have come that you might live an abundant life. You see, here's the thing I need you to catch today, and that is this. Eternal life does not just begin, if you've come to know Christ now, eternal life does not just begin after you die. eternal life, or that quality of life, begins the moment you say yes to Jesus Christ, and His life is deposited, poured into you in exchange for your old life. His life comes in. That's when His life is eternal life. Ours is temporal. Ours, we exist, as it were. Without His Spirit, His life in us, we're really separated from God. But the Bible says that when we receive His life, or the life of God, eternal life begins not when we die, but the moment we receive Him as Lord and Savior. So watch, He has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly until we get there, you see? And so God is speaking about not only a quantity of life, but a quality of life. And I want you to see who stands behind this promise. Let's read Titus 1:2. Go. The hope of eternal... Oh, is that where we are? Yeah. Okay, go. Now, just checking, you know. I never heard you guys talk at me when I said read. Nobody said nothing. Make me scared when you guys don't do that. Let's... Okay, go. The hope of eternal... Try louder, please. Make me feel good. Go. The hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. The hope of eternal life, which whom? God. Circle His name there. God. And then underline, who cannot lie, then circle promised long ages ago. You see, the neat thing is we've got to recognize, first of all, the one who stands behind the promises is a God who cannot lie. And He gives to us this promise of eternal life. Again, not just after we die, but right now when you receive Christ. If you've not done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of this service. But let me tell you to please do that, because He gives life and life abundantly. He gives you the assurance of life forever, but He gives you the quality of life in the here and now. So eternal life begins when you say yes to Jesus Christ, and He stands behind that. Now see, don't miscommunicate or misunderstand what eternal life is. Some people say, well, if you really want eternal life after you die, then you got to live a real suffering, ascetic, bondage, severe, bare bones lifestyle, like some Hinduistic lifestyle that endures suffering and lives in poverty to prove your holiness and to then deserve eternal life. No, that is not biblical at all. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. John 15:8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The Lord is saying, I want you to have a quality of life in your relationships with one another, that it be fruitful. There's a sense of wholeness, of purity, a sense of saying, Lord, this is just wonderful. And God is saying, yes, that's what I want you to have. For at His right hand, the Scripture says, are pleasures forevermore. Times of refreshing, Acts 3:19, come from the presence of the Lord. Constantly, God is saying, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Oh, no, and I'm not talking about some lavish, squandering lifestyle of just flaunting things. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying a life of wholeness, a life of fruitfulness. There's a sense of purity, simplicity, childlike, refreshing. God is saying, I want you to have a sense of abundant life, not some ascetic, monk, monastic kind of life where you have to beat yourself and live in a cave to prove your holiness. No, not at all. You know, recently though, because some people think that way, and though it's unbiblical, but we grow up thinking that way. Recently, I got a letter from someone that saw me in the airplane, and I was going to, I think coming back from some speaking things, and I have enough frequent flyer miles because I travel a great deal. In fact, one airline called me up, said I have enough miles to go to the moon and back for free. But what I do is, because I go and I speak a lot, as soon as I hit ground, I slide into an auditorium and I'm speaking. So I've got to have at least some sanity about me. In fact, this last trip, yeah, I spoke 15 times in 3 days. So they bang, 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 and then you get back on the plane and shoot back. And then when I come back, we keep going. So I use my frequent flyer miles to bump me up a little bit so I can sleep by the time I get there. At least I have some measure, modicum of sanity when I start speaking. Well, someone saw me in the plane in the business class, and they didn't like it at all. And so they wrote me a letter. This just came last week. Now, what I'm about to read to you is a real letter. Listen to this. Dear Pastor Wayne, I saw you in the first class section of our aircraft. I think that if you were a true Christian and being a pastor to boot, shouldn't you have given your first class ticket to someone who rode in coach, perhaps like a senior citizen on their way to Hawaii just before they die? This is true. I find your hypocrisy most disturbing. Would Jesus fly first class? Jesus don't need a plane. That was just my comment there. I went to Catholic school all my life. However, the hypocrisy of the Christian church has turned me off to organized religion. How could you preach the gospel standing behind a huge koa pulpit, and a true Christian church would have people sitting on benches and the pastor preaching from behind a wooden crate? If being a preacher is just a job for you, maybe you should try answering the following and let that lead your actions. What would Jesus do? This is a true letter. And so you have to just be really nice and type back, thank you for your letter. I was frankly surprised this guy had the guts to sign their name. I sort of recognized his name, kind of a bitter person, I'm sure. It was signed to Elwin Ahu. And But we don't want to misdefine eternal life. You know, it's a quality of life, of relationships, of wholeness, influencing people in a positive way. And again, I'm not talking about a squandered, opulent lifestyle, but one that's fruitful and whole. And remember, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, why does he give us this promise? This promise of eternal life. I'll tell you why. First of all, would you write in your next bullet, Jesus promises us an assurance of eternal life. He wants us to have the assurance, not just a passing hope, not just a cross your finger, maybe I'll be able to get there to heaven. No. 1 John 5:13, let's read it together. Go. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? So that you may know that you have eternal life. Not presume, not cross your fingers, but he gives us an assurance, a confidence. God is saying, I want you to know that I have paid the price. I have purchased your salvation. And when you say yes to my invitation to this gift, I want you to know that eternity is sealed up for you, not based on your performance, based on mine. Not yours on the earth, mine on the cross. How many of you are glad for Jesus and what he did on the cross for us? Yep. I tell you, I am. And it's not just because of my performance, it's his. So my salvation is wrapped up in his performance and the blood that he shed for me. And when I receive that gift, then he gives me an assurance of eternal life. Why does he give us that? Why does he say that you have that eternal life? Let's read John 20, verse 30 and 31. Go. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed, which are not written in this book, but these have been written, why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John 21, verse 25 says, there are also many other things which Jesus did, if they were written in detail, I suppose that the world itself would not be able to contain the books that would be written. You see, Jesus has done so many things. Now, how much will you put in the Bible? Well, what about Cro-Magnon man? What about dinosaurs? Well, if the Bible were a science book and it would tell us about all of the things that God created and when he did it in chronological order, do you know how big that book would be? But these have been written in order that you might believe. You know what the Bible is for us? In the Bible is enough for us to believe unto eternal life. Because you can find out all about dinosaurs and Cro-Magnon man, but if you miss heaven, what good is it? See, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to ask God to put in a videotape, and I'm going to watch how it was done. We'll have all of that revealed to us. But see, if you miss on the spinning earth that's just that fast, If you miss what it means to have the promise of eternal life, it doesn't matter how dinosaurs were made now, was it? Because you ain't going to see them. The best thing is the Lord says, I will give, these things have been written in order that you might know that you have eternal life. It's enough for us to believe. And so God gives us the assurance of salvation so that we can have a confidence in the living here and now. And that way we become what the Bible says are like winners. You see, I'm so glad I can look at the end of the Bible and you know what it says? We win. It doesn't matter what trials you're going through right now. In the end, we win. And then with that confidence in mind, it gives us an assurance in the way that we live. Have you ever seen winners at the end of a basketball game? They're hugging each other. Yeah. And if someone says, hey, I'm so sorry I missed that basket. It's okay. We win. Isn't that right? Forgiveness is readily given. On the other hand, have you seen losers after a game?
It's you. You had the opportunity to shoot. You did. You hogged the ball. You hogged. You lost the game. You lost the game for us.
And they're yelling and screaming at each other. Losers are like that. Winners, that's all right. We win. You know what God is saying? I want you to be people who have the assurance of salvation for eternity because it affects the way we live today. I remember when we were playing soccer and we were a championship game. We were playing a Mexican team to come over from Kona. And it was at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Well, at 3 o'clock, only six of the Mexicans had come from Kona. Now they're a very good team. They had, you know, like their Mexican flag and these guys started coming over, but they only had six. So the referee called us together and said, you know, we'll give you 15 more minutes. And if you don't have the rest of your team, you'll have to forfeit. So the Mexican guy says, okay, senor, okay, you know, they will come. So we split up and we're kind of kicking and, you know, practicing and I'm nervous because they're so good and they're going to kill us if we play. I just know that. So I'm praying, God, don't let them come. Don't let them. Yeah. Well, 15 minutes, they don't show up. So the referee called us together and said, sorry to the Mexican team, you'll have to forfeit and you guys are the champions. Yay! So then the Mexican captain said, okay, say, since we don't have our players, why don't you just give us a few and then we'll just play scrimmage game. So I said, well, first of all, let me make sure now. We win already. We win. He said, yeah, you win. You're champions. You're champions already. You're champions. Let's just play. Okay, are you sure? Would you sign here that we win? Yes, you win. I said, okay, all right. So he said, just give us some players from your team and we'll just play a scrimmage. So I said, all right. So we gave him five guys. They're the worst guys. And then we gave him... And you know, because I knew that we already won, we're already winners, we had the best game. I mean, we played like champions because it was like, no problem. We already win, you know, and we could make all these moves and everything because we win. And when they make a mistake, it's all right. Here, have the ball. We win. You know, and that's kind of like the Lord is saying, if you understand the assurance of salvation, that I've given you life forever, not based on your performance, but based on the performance of Christ. If you believe in Him, then based on His purchase price, you have the assurance of salvation forever. Now, do you stop there and say, great, we win? No. It should affect the way you live. That forgiveness is easier given. That we don't get caught up and we're not like losers. We don't live like losers. I remember when Amy was about five and Aaron was about four, there was a gravel pit right outside of our gravel garden, right outside of our front window. And I remember reading the paper and in Hilo, it would rain like just twice a year. The first, it would be 6 months and the second 6 months. And it just rained a lot, but we loved it there. But once in a while, when we kind of get tired of the rain, we say to the kids, hey, we're going to go to Kona tomorrow. We're going to Hapuna Beach. And the kids would just love that. Son, what's that? And so we would go to Hapuna Beach and they would just love it. So whenever we'd say, we're going to Kona tomorrow, oh, they dance around. And so I told the kids, hey, we're going to Kona tomorrow. Oh, and so they went outside and I saw them playing in the gravel and they both had trucks, and I guess Amy took Aaron's truck and making new road improvements, overpasses in the gravel, you know. And when he was noticing that that she was making road improvements with his truck, and he wasn't going to get credit for the road improvements, he started to say, "Hey, that's my truck." Now, Amy's only 5 and Aaron's 4, and she said, "Just cool it, you know, just cool it. He said, "Give me back my truck." Amy said, just be still. Aaron said, "You better give me back my truck." And I'm listening because I'm reading the newspaper and it's right outside the window. And I heard Amy say, Aaron, settle down. Tomorrow we're going to Kona. I laugh. You know, there's times I just know the Lord just says to me, when I get really frustrated and flustered, it's like the Lord saying, Wayne, tomorrow you have forever. You're going to heaven. It's okay. Live that way today.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Promise of Eternal Life with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. And until this same time tomorrow, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.